From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. It's the 9 p.m. hour. It's 9:06. I am Jake Skorheim, your host. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. A lot of news to cover today. There's a lot of very interesting stories. We've got the Costco story, which we talked about a little bit earlier, which we're going to cover here again in just a little bit. Costco, believe it or not, is no longer going to allow people to just sneak in the side door and, you know, sneak past the guest services, sneak past the member services desk or the checkout area and go straight to the cafe. That is going to be now exclusively available to members of Costco. Now, this is something that I have done a million times in my life, especially in college. I would go and get that $1.50 Costco hot dog soda combo, and I didn't have a Costco membership at the time. You can no longer do that. Costco is going to require to see your Costco membership. What they're trying to crack down on is people, especially in the self-checkout. You guys probably heard this story, but in self-checkout, Costco was noticing that when they first put in the self-checkout lines, which I was skeptical about, although I use them a lot now, full disclosure, when people started using the self-checkout lines, what Costco realized is, boy, we see a lot of people coming through these lines. I wonder if they're actually Costco members. And so what they started doing was they started having people checking IDs to see if they matched up with the Costco IDs. And what they found was, no, they were not matching. This is a problem for Costco because Costco makes most of their money, as I understand it, off of Costco memberships. They kind of get you in the door with the good prices. They get you in the door with that, you know, that club feel. One of the perks also is this food cafe area, this food court. It's not food court. The Costco cafe that everybody knows and loves. I used to love the churros. Those are no more. Now they offer a cookie. We've talked about that many times. That's neither here nor there. But they're checking IDs now. And so are people going to be able to just slide in and go to Costco and get a $1.50 hot dog? Well, no, not if you're a non-member. This is going to be exclusively for members. We're going to talk to Kate Stone later in the show. She's going to tell us about this. She's going to kind of tell us the methodology behind this. Why is Costco making this decision? Is this going to be better for their bottom line? Were too many people using it? Were they just packed with people who are not actually Costco members? And is that a reason they're doing it? Because they want to make sure that their members have access to the food court? All of these questions, all of these vital questions are going to be answered by Kate Stone. So stick around. We'll get to that in just a little bit. All right, real fast, let's cover some cargo ship stuff because this is the story that everybody in the entire world is talking about. A massive cargo ship carrying 4,900 cargo containers smashed into earlier this morning, smashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. If you have not seen the video of this, you need to go check this out. It is unbelievable to watch. It is a massive bridge. Apparently, according to Spike, we talked to Spike earlier on the show, last hour actually on the show, we talked to Spike O'Neill. He is from Baltimore. He was giving me some details on this bridge. It is a massive thoroughfare for people. They use this bridge like crazy. 12 million drivers cross this bridge every single year. Cargo semis are crossing this at all hours. So this is a huge part of how we get our goods across the country because that port in Baltimore, the port of Baltimore actually, is one of the largest ports in the U.S. in terms of volume, in terms of the value of cargoes that go in there. That is the biggest port for cars. When cars get shipped to the U.S. from other countries, that was likely the port that they're going to. And so now that port is going to be, I mean, I would assume that's going to be very tough to access. Now that this bridge has collapsed, what are they going to do? That's a great question. We don't have the answers to that yet. But we're going to hopefully get more answers as time comes. But earlier this morning when this happened, the entire world was just watching. NBC was out in front of the White House, getting the White House response at the time.
The White House says they are closely watching the situation that led to this bridge collapse. And if an official tells me this morning that there is no indication of any nefarious intent. We also know that senior White House officials are in touch with the governor and mayor to reach out for any federal assistance that they may need. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, he's also been in touch with them. And also, as we've been talking about, U.S. officials reiterating that the Coast Guard is currently conducting that search and rescue rescue operation. The White House also says that their hearts go out to all of the families of those who still remain missing as a result of this horrific incident.
Speaking of people who are missing on the bridge, Fox New York was actually talking about the vehicles who were on the bridge at the time when the ship hit. That's really the thing that kind of just blows your mind as you're watching this. This massive cargo ship, which is going about 8 knots and which is actually in miles per hour, that's just slightly over 9 miles per hour. Very, very slow. And so you're watching this ship, which has lost control. It is it's totally without power. They have no way of steering it. And so this ship veers off course and starts heading for this one key beam, which holds the Francis Scott Key Bridge up. So many things had to go wrong in order for this bridge to fall. Really, it's like astounding that this happened. And if you're watching the video, you're just kind of watching it going like, oh my gosh, I can't believe. The ship starts to veer over towards the beam. There are other areas where the ship could have gone, and I think it probably would have still smacked into the side of the bridge because the cargo ship is, you know, obviously you've seen these ships, massive. And it's loaded under with like 4,900 cargo containers that are stacked however many high. So it probably still would have hit the bridge. Would it have knocked the bridge over? I don't know. Structural engineers will have to look into that and make that decision. I guess it, you know, for all that it matters. I mean, it did collapse, so I don't even know if it matters. Maybe it just would have knocked some of the containers off. Maybe the ship itself would have, you know, clearly damaged the bridge, but, you know, would it have actually knocked the entire bridge over? Who knows? Fox News talked to a structural engineer, and they asked them about the beams. It hit this one beam. You're just kind of sitting there watching it. Watch the video for this. It's you'll never see anything like it. It's bizarre. It's crazy. Fox talked to one of these structural engineers, and they just said, listen, once it hit the beam, it was like dominoes falling down.
One beam like that in a critical spot could be without a double safety standards or redundancy, I should say. But, I mean, I at this point, surprised that a container ship like that, which is so large, would be able to, if it's off course, back over in Tampa, you know, we do have some means underwater now, so if a ship does get out of its own direction, that it can be diverted, that it will divert it away from the critical parts of the bridge, mm-hmm. that there's underwater structures that the ship would come across before it actually got to the bridge itself, the critical part of the bridge.
And they talked about those beams. They said the beams are meant to spread the load. Obviously, there's structural design in every bridge. I don't need to tell you that. But the beams are meant to hopefully distribute some of the weight if something happens to one of the beams. The problem is when a ship that size that weighs such an immense amount, which is loaded down with cargo, which is moving at any speed, I would imagine, is just like devastating, hits it dead on. It looks like the Titanic running into the iceberg. It just smacks it dead on, which actually didn't happen in the Titanic. I guess the Titanic had hit the side. We've all seen the movie. It hit the side, punctured the side, dot, 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 like Morse code. Isn't that the way they describe it in the Titanic movie? And then the Titanic sunk. But it looks like that. It hit the beam dead on, and there was just nothing else they could do.
The structure itself tries to redistribute the loads. If you lose the critical part of one column, for instance, the structure itself tries to redistribute the loads and then goes to the other column, which has apparently then overloaded that column. That's the nature of the structures.
All right, but again, if you haven't seen this video, it's so surreal. Go check it out and go watch it. And what you're struck by as you're watching it, because it happened in the middle of the night, early in the morning, and it's so you can see all of the headlights of the cars that are racing across this bridge. It's a massive bridge. It's really long. So they're racing across this bridge. I don't know how aware that they are that there is a huge cargo ship about to hit one of the beams. But they were able to shut the bridge down. They were able to send out a Mayday signal. The bridge was able to be shut down. Otherwise, a lot more cars might have been on the bridge, but they had already tried to start shutting it down in Baltimore. They'd already tried to stop traffic from going over the bridge, but there were still people going across the bridge seconds before the ship hit. And it could have been way, way, way worse. There was loss of life. Obviously, there's still people missing. They're looking for people. Our hearts go out to them. Hopefully, they'll be found alive. Very scary situation, but it could have been so much worse. All right, I want to move on to something else really fast here because I found this story. I actually found this story really encouraging And I'm hoping that other states, including Washington State, will follow suit. Washington State probably won't, although I don't know why anybody would be against this. But listen to this. This happened in Florida. I think Florida Zoo is something really smart. Often we talk about stories that, like, Florida does crazy things. Like, they have a lot of crazy people in Florida, and they got alligators, and they got poisonous snakes. Just a lot of things that I don't like. But what they also have is Governor Ron DeSantis, who does a lot of really interesting things in Florida. And Floridians seem to be very happy with Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida. He has just signed a law today that raises the age for teenagers to start social media accounts to 14. What do you guys think about that? What this law requires is that parents grant those 14-year-olds, 14 and 15-year-olds, permission before they can open an account on one of these social media sites. And basically, what the big change here is, now the companies will be forced. You take your Metas or your Instagram, wherever these other social media companies. What you're going to force them to do is have some way online of verifying that the 14-year-old who is signing up has gotten their parents' permission. That's it. That's the law. And what it's going to do, hopefully, it is going to give parents the time and the thought process to say, hey, you know what? I'm actually reading a lot of, like, negative stuff about adolescence and social media use. Maybe we don't want our kids on social media. Maybe that's not something that we actually want for them. Bloomberg has an article about this. Listen to some of the details. They say, while older kids face no restrictions, the legislation forces all social media users in the state, this is again in Florida, to submit identification documents to verify their ages. DeSantis said social media harms children in a variety of ways. I totally agree with him there. He says this House bill gives parents a greater ability to protect their children. The Florida legislation is part of a broader effort by some states to clamp down on social media firms amid rising concerns over the impact on youth mental health and their role in spreading sexually explicit content to kids and just generally their mental health. So you have states like Arkansas and Ohio who've already enacted laws requiring minors to secure parental approval before they get on social media accounts. And again, it doesn't stop them from getting these accounts. What it requires, though, is that parents be part of that process. And I think that's a really good thing. So the law is set to take effect in 2025. But between now and then, I imagine what's probably going to happen is you're probably going to see some lawsuits, probably from some folks at the social media sites who are feeling like this violates First Amendment rights. But apparently in the bill, they've already tried to address that issue. House Speaker Paul Renner, he is a Republican from Palm Coast. He was part of the negotiation process with this legislation. And he says what's unique in this bill is that we didn't focus on content. You will not find a single line in this bill that addresses good speech or bad speech because that would violate the First Amendment. So they're not trying to violate the First Amendment. He predicted an imminent legal challenge from NetChoice. It is a tech industry trade group that has filed lawsuits on other states on behalf of measures that have opposed, on behalf of similar measures. So they're opposed to this. Honestly, as a parent, I feel like this is helping me as a parent. Because one of the things that's very difficult, I haven't faced this yet. My oldest kid just turned 9, actually, today. Happy birthday, buddy. One of the things as a parent that you're trying to do is you're just like fighting this battle on all fronts. How do you protect your kids from things that you don't think that they're ready yet to hear about or see? And, you know, you don't always trust other people, especially on the internet, especially in the dark corners of the internet, to teach your kids things in a way that you feel comfortable with your kids learning things. Any parent knows this. This is just like parenting 101. You don't want weirdos on the internet contacting your kid and trying to like teach them things or share things with them that you don't want them sharing. And that's your right as a parent to protect your kids for as long as you can. It means that you love your kids. You guys know who the author Jonathan Haidt is? I believe it's pronounced. He's an author. He has this story in The Atlantic. He recently published his article in The Atlantic. I've read this thing multiple times. It's fascinating and it's really great. It's really good information. But what basically he talks about is back in 2012, with the explosion of social media, what you saw happening exactly along that same line, along that same timeline, is you see there is an explosion of social media use amongst the youth, amongst kids ages 10 to 19. What happens at that same time is you see also an explosion in the rise in number of kids who are suffering from like depression, anxiety. The suicide rate jumps up for girls between the ages of 10 and 14. I think the suicide rate jumped up 131%. That's scary stuff. They attribute this to the use of social media because it creates this culture where kids feel like, oh, I have to be something maybe that I'm not because it's going to get likes on social media. It doesn't help kids out. Social media doesn't. We all know that. Anecdotally, you've heard stories. You've heard horror stories about social media, bullying, online bullying, all these different things. So Jonathan Haidt, he talked about this in this Atlantic article. And I want to read a little bit of it for you here. He says, once a few students in any middle school lie about their age and open accounts at age 11 or 12, they start posting photos and comments about themselves and other students. Drama ensues. The pressure on everyone else to join becomes intense. Even a girl who knows consciously that Instagram can foster beauty obsession, anxiety, and eating disorders might sooner take those risks than accept the seeming certainty of being out of the loop, clueless and excluded. And indeed, if she resists while most of her classmates do not, she might in fact be marginalized, which puts her at risk for anxiety and depression, though this is a different pathway than the one taken by those who use social media heavily. In this way, social media accomplishes a remarkable feat. It even harms adolescents who choose not to use it. He then talks about this study in the University of Chicago, where they talk to all these college students. They talk to like 1,000 college students and say, hey, listen, tell us what you think is so valuable at social media. And basically what the students come around to and explain to them is they say, well, we don't really think there's an inherent value to social media. What we're afraid of is being out of the loop, this fear of missing out. And so they use social media because they don't want to be left out. And then the college researchers at University of Chicago, they talk to these thousands of college students and they say, hey, okay, how about this? Tell us what you think the value of social media is if we told you that none of your friends were on Instagram or if none of your friends were on TikTok. Would you still use these sites? And they say, no, we wouldn't, because that's where the kids are. That's where our peers are. So we think that we need to be on these sites in order to stay connected to our peers. So it's really fascinating that even young people realize there's not an inherent value to these sites other than other people are using them and you have a fear of missing out. And maybe even it's damaging to be on these sites. I hope these are lessons that people start picking up the more and more comfortable we're getting talking about social media and the more comfortable we're getting talking to our kids about social media. This is something that I will be endeavoring to do with my kids as they get older, as they start approaching that age where they're going to be interested in stuff like this. I'm going to try as hard as I can. Even if it's a losing battle, I'm going to try as hard as I can to keep them from getting on social media, because I think ultimately it's not going to add value to their lives. You might disagree with that. That's totally fine. But the more of us out who are out there, the more parents who are out there who are doing the same thing, creating spaces for our kids to not have to join in on these things that we think might be damaging to them, then the job for the rest of us gets easier. So maybe we can all band together. All right, we got a lot more coming up on the show. Next, we're going to talk to Kate Stone. Costco is no longer going to allow you to to buy food at their food court unless you can show that you are indeed a member of Costco. What does this mean for Costco? Or for you, if you are not a member and you love those $1.50 hot dogs, we're going to tell you everything you want to know about it. Coming up next here on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. I have a very special guest on with me right now who has a story that's very close to my heart, because I like to talk about Costco a lot.
Costco lovers, listen up.
Yes, this is if you are a fan of Costco, if you find yourself in Costco as often as I do, which I would be surprised. Kate Stone, Cairo News Radio reporter, joins us now. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
We were just talking about this before we got on the air, but our paths don't cross as much these days.
They do not.
You're doing a lot of morning show stuff.
I am doing some morning show stuff right now.
Is that a promotion? Have they promoted you to it kind is, of a bigger deal?
You know, I don't like to give away company secrets. Let's just say I'm being a team player. I'm going where I'm needed.
That's great. Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. So let's call the promotion, even though technically we're prime time, I think.
Yeah.
Everywhere else in the world, night
show
is
prime time. Exactly.
Exactly.
You're going up against, you know, the Law and Orders.
I'm going up against Law and Order, depending on the night. I might be going up against Survivor.
Chicago Fire, Chicago Med, Chicago School, whatever it is now.
Yeah. And just a whole different medium. I mean, this is radio.
Chicago University. I don't know what they have now.
I don't know what Chicago University. That would be a really boring show.
Aww.
Compared to all the other Chicagos.
Did you not have fun in college?
Well, it's just a very different. I mean, those are all procedurals. The other ones that you described.
I guess.
Are all like crime shows. So I don't know what they're doing on.
I don't know. I guess
it's like they could be campus cops.
Get Away with Murder was at a law school, and they murdered like a lot of people.
No, that's true. That was a lot of murders on that show.
A lot of murders.
All right, but we're here not to talk about murder.
Costco.
We are here to talk about Costco.
Yes.
Costco is doing something new.
Yeah.
And I have recently talked about Costco because they got rid of the churro, which I was upset about.
Oh,
they replaced it with a cookie.
Dang it.
Whatever. It doesn't make sense. People say it's good. I'll try it sometime. But you said Costco's doing something new. What are they doing?
Yeah. Well, if you want to try that cookie, you're going to have to be a member now.
What?
Food court access is going to be members only. So the $1 hot, $1.50 hot dog soda deal, you're going to have to show your Costco card in order to get it. Now, Costco says you've always needed membership to get food court access, but they haven't really enforced that hardly ever.
That might be a company policy. That might be true on paper, but it has not been true in practice.
Well, they're cracking down on it. This is just the latest move that they're doing to kind of crack down and make sure that only members are getting member benefits at their club stores. And so this comes all from a photo that was recently posted on Reddit, caught the attention nationwide. It's of a sign that was posted at the food court in an Orlando, Florida store, which read, effective April 8th of 2024, an active Costco membership card will be required to purchase items from the food court. You can join today. Please see our membership counter for details. Now, again, Costco says, you know, you've always had to be a member, but if you're a Costco member, you can bring in non-member guests.
Yeah.
Who can then browse or sample the free samples or even get a snack at the food court. Well, now apparently that...
Yeah, my kids aren't members, but they still come with me. They don't have to show their cards every
time. Children aren't necessarily... I believe this is applying
to
adults.
No, but you're right. The Costco card allows you to go in. And the reason that works is
because... I think you have
to
be 18 to get a Costco card, so...
Well, and the other thing, the reason that works is if you go into Costco, a non-member can buy nothing at Costco.
So
they can't, you know, once you're in the door,
At checkout, they're going to check your Costco card.
They're going to check your card and they're going to make sure your Costco card matches up with your ID.
Now, what used to be a hack that people were using is you went to self-checkout. There was no one there to check your card. You just had to scan the card.
Not anymore.
Now there is a person there making sure that your card matches your photo ID. And as we know, they are also doing that at the store entrances. They're trying this out in Issaquah, where people actually have to scan their membership card in order to get into the store.
Oh, and then a picture of their face pops up?
Exactly.
Instead of boarding a plane or something?
Instead of just flashing some random Costco card that could be yours, could be somebody else's at the employee, now you've got to actually have...
Now, a lot of these cards have, like, on the back of my Costco card, there's a picture.
Right.
You know, there's, like, kind of a bad black and white photo. But I could hold it up and show it to them, and they would be able to see it. But, yeah, like, normally when I go into Costco, I just hold up my wallet.
Right.
They see a sliver of black from the Costco card, and they go, that's fine.
But now they're matching it against photo IDs.
Wow.
Or names. Yeah, exactly.
What's the reasoning behind that? Because people still can't purchase things until they get to the checkout, and they do check your ID at checkout.
Right.
I mean, your ID, I should say.
Well, again, now the self-checkout, as they expand the self-checkout, they're making sure that only members can purchase things, because, again, that used to be a hack that people could use, is that you could buy things even if you weren't a member at the self-checkout, because no one was actually looking at the cards. You just scan it through.
This is an issue. It's not a huge issue. I understand why they're doing it. It is an annoyance because when I do self-checkout, usually, like a lot of times I'll go into Costco and if I'm just like running to get some things, I won't always get a cart.
Sure.
Because if I'm just like popping in, because I have a Costco like a mile from my house. Mm-hmm. It's just like fantastic. It's changed my life. So I will go in, I'll quickly grab some things, and I'll like run up to the self-checkout. But now I'm loaded down. Mm-hmm. And now I have to pull my ID out, and I have to like have this pre-planning to make sure I can get through the self-checkout.
And our producer of Seattle Morning News, David Burbank, he actually got scolded because he grabbed his wife's Costco card instead of his own. And then they
Same last name, though, I would think.
Well, you're not the your wife, obviously. And he was like, well, I grabbed, you know, the wrong card or whatever. But yeah, he's been scolded by, so they really are cracking down on this. And what's kind of interesting about it is Costco does not make all of their money really from the products that they sell, because, you know, people go to Costco because it's a good deal.
Yeah.
You get a good deal on food, you get a good deal on gas, et cetera, the wholesale prices. They make most of their money on their membership fees. That's how they make most of their revenue. They actually made $4.58 billion in revenue just from membership fees alone last year. And so they are essentially saying, you know, we want to, it's kind of like Netflix, we want to reap the benefits.
Yeah, there's no password sharing
at Costco. Exactly, no password sharing at Costco. That's actually a really great way to put it. So they want people to, you know, if you're gonna buy the cheap $80 pack of razors, you're going to have to pay for it with your $60 a year membership. Now, $60 a year, comparatively to Netflix and the other things, that's
pretty
actually
good deal.
Yeah, it's not
pretty
that
good
bad.
Deal.
Now, what is interesting is that this policy that they're cracking down on, and they've slowly but surely been doing this over time. Like the outdoor food courts actually didn't require a Costco card until 2020, and now apparently the indoor food carts are going to require one as well. But what's interesting about this is Costco gas. Now, Costco gas still doesn't have the same monitoring as the stores.
And no, you just slide your Costco card in there.
It'll be interesting to see if that happens, because they only have two attendees monitoring, 20, 25
Yeah,
pumps?
Like when my wife and I were dating before we had a Costco membership together, I didn't have a Costco membership. She did.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would use her gas card. I would go in and like get my Costco gas.
Exactly.
You know what? This is kind of a
funny. That might be your hack here, Cairo Knights listeners.
Yeah, for now, until your they hack, figure out how to solve
well,
it.
Well, exactly. If anyone is a Costco executive and listening to this, then
we have blown it. We have a lot of Costco execs who listen to this show.
Yeah, so we might have blown it.
I used to live in Issaquah. I got to tell the story really fast. So we used to live in Issaquah. I only had one kid at the time, and it was my, and ironically, this is pure chance.
Is their name Costco?
No, but my, yeah. You know, I am having a fourth son. I did come up with a name.
Oh, boy.
No, but that's actually a really good idea. Do you think Costco would give me a deal if I named my son Costco?
I think they give you free Costco for life.
They might. Okay, so anyway, it's my son's birthday today.
Oh.
And so when my son was like 2 years old, maybe 1 year old, my wife, I don't know what she was off doing, but she's off doing something. And so I have him for the morning, right? And so I pick him up from preschool and I'm like, hey, buddy, you want to go? So we go like...
He was in preschool at one?
I'm sorry, not one. It was like he was two or three. I don't know what it was. Yeah, he was very young.
Okay, all right.
Young enough for preschool. I'm bad with kid ages.
It's okay.
So I pick him up from preschool, and this is in Issaquah. And this is like, you know, this is 6 years ago now because he just turned nine. And we go to, he's like, I want to get a balloon. So we go and get a balloon. And then we go to, he wants to go get a, an ice cream from Costco. Now, I didn't have a Costco card on me. And I don't even know if I had a membership or if we were just using my wife's membership. And so what I was like, all right, we'll just walk in, because the food court, you don't need it. Traditionally, you did not need cards. I guess you do need them now. So we walk up to the door, and my son's holding, it was the saddest thing. It was so funny. He's holding this little red balloon. He's 3 years old. He's like walking on his own, but like, you know, he might've been two because his walk was like kind of still waddly. He's waddling there and I'm holding his hand, and you know, like, we look like just a cute little pairing, you know? And we walk up to the door, and I have never been asked this in my life. And the lady goes, can I see your Costco card? And I was like, oh, we're just heading to the food court. My son wants ice cream. And she goes, oh, you need your Costco card. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't have it. And she goes, well, you can just go check in at the guest services and they'll let you through. And I was like, but I knew in my head, I don't actually have the account. My wife had the account at the time. I have one now. And so I'm like, no, it's fine. It's fine. So I turn around. I'm like, all right, buddy, sorry. We got to go. So we turn around and he's like, ice cream. And we start walking away. And with this, like, this sad kid, and he's holding his balloon and it's drooping. And the lady, this kind of like older, nicer lady who was working the door, I could see that she felt awful about it. So she calls after. She goes, no, it's okay. You can come back and get your ice cream. It's okay. And I was like, no, it's fine. It's fine. Because at this point, I'm a little like annoyed that they've turned us away, and I'm spiteful. And so I was like, no, it's fine. And, he just broke his heart. It ruined his day. But don't worry, it's only his birthday. And I didn't say any of those things. But this happened to me. So I can totally relate to people who want to go to Costco and you want to be able to buy the stuff.
Right.
You're going to have your ID now, though. So,
right. And,
very
and
interesting.
The question is if our Costco members still allowed to bring guests. Now, are those guests going to have their own Costco card to buy food at the food? That's what this seems to imply.
I would hope not.
That's what this seems to imply. You have to have an active Costco membership.
Well, just a Costco member can buy the food for them. They can pay them back outside.
That's true, but,
teenagers
what if you guys
want to
split off and somebody wants to go get 7 gallons of shampoo while the other person gets a churro? Nope, they don't have churros.
They don't have churros.
Dang it.
It's going to be like, back in my day, it was kids outside of a Quickie Mart who wanted you to buy them beer, and now they're just like outside of Costco. Can you get me a cookie, man? I don't have an ID.
It's a good question to ask, how people feel about it. Is it, I bet Costco members are like, great, no more freebies for the freeloaders.
No, we're kind people. The Costco tribe.
The Costco tribe.
All right, that's Kate Stone. You can hear in the mornings, and occasionally, when we're lucky enough, you can hear on the night show as well. Kate Stone, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
All right, we got a lot more coming up. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. I don't know if you guys heard this. I played a little bit of this yesterday, but I found this really funny. I just think he's a funny guy. You may not agree with him politically, but James Carville, he tells it like it is, and he's an old school guy, which I like. And what I like, too, is he's a guy who doesn't care which side you vote. He's a guy who believes there's a documentary out right now that he's a part of, and it's talking about, he was asked about politics back in the day. Like, what was politics like back in the day? And he basically says, politics used to be fun. In fact, they asked him, if you could name the title of this documentary about you, what would you call it? And he says, when politics was fun. He says, there was actually a time when people loved doing this. People would go out, they would drink, they would talk to everybody, they'd leak stories. Generally, when it was over, you'd go and sit with the other side and you'd have drinks together. Now, this is obviously true. This happened in his real life. He married, James Carville was, in case you don't know, James Carville, he's 79 years old now, but he's quite spry still. He seems 79 years young. So he was the mastermind behind Bill Clinton's campaign in 1992. And he was basically competing against Mary Matlin, who was advising the George H.W. Bush campaign. And the two of them fell in love because they both love politics and they love talking. And, he's a liberal, she is a conservative, and they made it work, and they've been married forever. And he says, that's the way it should be. We shouldn't be sitting here fighting with people on the other side. You can have healthy disagreements with somebody on the other side, and you could still even have a happy marriage with those folks. But, okay, so why are we talking about James Carville? He was talking in this documentary, and I thought this was very interesting, and so I just thought this was a funny turn of phrase as well. He was talking about Biden's poll numbers. Biden's poll numbers are not great. People are saying that, Biden needs to figure something out because it's not looking great for him right now. And James Carville said, listen, these are really, really bad poll numbers. How bad are they? They're this bad.
I don't think people really appreciate how bad Biden's poll numbers are. When you look at them, it's like walking down your grandmother naked. You can't unsee it, no matter how hard you try. And the deeper you dig, the kind of worse it is. I don't think we thought this thing through. I don't think people realize the hunger and appetite for something different in this country. And I don't think they realize this terrific pool of candidates out of there.
All right, in this Carville documentary, he's talking with Rob Reiner, the director, Spinal Tap. So Rob Reiner was asking Carville, he was saying, listen, you may not like Biden, you may think his poll numbers are bad, but if he's the guy, everybody should get behind him. And Carville says, all right, I understand that, but it's really tough to think about that given what he's seen.
I don't disagree with you that we have a good bench. There are a lot of great candidates out there for 2028, but I think we can still win this election, but we have to all be pulling with the same oar.
And I understand where you're coming from. People that I love, that I talk to every day, that have been part of this film, make exactly the same point you do. And I can't unsee what I see.
He just can't unsee what he's seeing. All right, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. But he's a funny guy. I like listening to him. All right, I hope you guys have had a good night. I've had a blast. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. Thank you to all of our guests. What a fun, great show. We're already working on a great show for you tomorrow, so make sure you tune in for that. But for right now, I gotta go. It's late. Night-night.